This podcast is brought to you by Voice of Vets. Voice of Vets. Hear it. Feel 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 it.
Today we are joined by the director of B2E Technologies, Mr. Michael Louizidis, to tell us more. Michael, thank you so much for joining us here on the COVID Report. Could you please start by telling us a little bit more about B2E Technologies and what it is exactly that you do?
Thanks for inviting me on. Much appreciated. Essentially, B2E Technologies is an IT company. We're involved very much in IT networking. And in the past sort of 5 years, we've expanded into the ISP and telecom space. But essentially, we manage large networks countrywide, close to 100 schools countrywide, and sort of expanded into a brand of fiber connectivity and telecoms connectivity over the past few years as well.
Very fascinating stuff. Now, I feel like I am well positioned to perhaps comment on this, especially from a customer standpoint. But we've seen more people having to depend on working from home and relying on video conferencing to hold meetings. I'm thinking of the numerous instances I've seen people depend on Zoom, on all other kinds of video conferencing software programs to hold meetings. Would you say that this increased use of broadband brought about by the unprecedented nature of this pandemic, the lockdown restrictions that ensued, and the necessity to move to this model of getting the work done via the video conferencing meetings, working from home. Would you say that this increased use of broadband has strengthened some telecommunications companies, or is it the exact opposite in some cases?
So definitely there's been, initially we on our side, and I'm going to comment from that where we've seen it directly, is as lockdown kicked in during the March period earlier this year, from a home connectivity point of view, there was an immediate surge in people looking to get connectivity from home in certain of those spectrums. So LTE, fiber and wireless connectivity. There was an immediate surge prior to as soon as the lockdown timing was announced, there was that immediate surge. And that in essence was to allow people to do exactly what you're saying, is to start doing that remote work on video conferencing. Now, on our networking side, there was an immediate boost in getting students and parents, for example, connected on platforms like you mentioned, Zoom. But the biggest one that we found on our side from a support perspective was Microsoft Teams, where we were suddenly working weekends additionally to try and get people and students online immediately to start doing this video and audio conferencing that you just mentioned.
So in sticking with the theme of how everyone has had to embrace these new circumstances, whether by choice or by circumstance, how do you then guarantee reliability of your networks, and how do you ensure positive customer experience even with high pressure on networks as it already is?
So I think there's always been a readiness, and I think South Africa as from a telecoms point of view, there is a very large readiness in the market to be able to absorb what the market can throw at it. So from our point of view, we definitely did find that, our network is, you can think of as a big hotel, and it's just waiting for the rooms to be filled in many scenarios. So we have this ability to we have this network that is there on the basis of maybe running a 10 or 15% capacity. And we found in our instance that obviously there was a big demand, but we were sitting in that sort of space of waiting for it to be filled. And in today's market, the way the ISPs are designed and the networks are designed, the ability to grow and cater for it was actually relatively simple, but easily to, in terms of timing, easy to complete. And I think that was well measured as well when a lot of the fiber providers also doubled their bandwidth. You know, they allowed ISPs to and end users to see double the speed that they were essentially paying for you know, to be offered out there. And I think the ISPs were relatively good in absorbing that network demand. And yeah, I think there was definitely capacity to ensure the reliability.
Now, in your expert opinion, do you think this is the right time to make investments in networks and possibly migrating to 5G?
So 5G is a new platform. Obviously, it's the expansion to the LTE or 4G platform. And yes, I think from a especially home scenario where the demand on video and streaming services and where people are going to be working from home now and doing more online, whether it be via, as you say, audio and video streaming, it allows for the capacity of people to do this from home and allows for people to do the additional benefits of that, which is video streaming as well at hopefully a more competitive price as more and more people take it up. Yeah, I think it's a good time.
So then how do you leverage automation across every facet of your business? And I'm thinking in terms of customers, employees, and network resiliency.
So I think if we're talking automation and things like that, I think effectively it's the systems that we work on, and the systems allow for the provisioning of these services to occur for our customers. Obviously, our employees are our customers as well, because effectively they're doing a lot of what you see out there in the market already. And we allow this automation and provisioning of all of our systems to be centralized and to allow people to easily onboard onto the network and easily upgrade, downgrade, and do all these changes relatively simple at the end of the day. And it's all around the centralization and the automation of the provisioning of the services, allowing the customers to easily be absorbed into the network without much complication.
Very eye-opening stuff. I feel like I'm learning something literally with every answer from you. Thank you very much, sir. Now, I think we can both agree that at the very least, 2020 has not been a year to write home about. Before we even get to the COVID-19 pandemic, there was the instance of that very highly publicized data leak that compromised the personal and private information of millions of users. How do you think data privacy frameworks are changing, and how can this affect company policies? And moreover, in keeping in line with the theme of the pandemic, can you take me through the ways in which this pandemic has made this already difficult measure to take and measure to maintain even more so difficult?
So privacy as a whole, and I think what this major data leak did was enhance the awareness of what people have out there in terms of their data and the privacy of their data and how critical it is to keep many of the aspects of data private. And I think with the explosion of what's happened in the past few months, especially online and with what's happening around the world, I think it's become clear along policymakers themselves that they... also, as these policymakers do create these guidelines that companies need to abide by and that companies need to follow, and obviously the companies to take it upon themselves to do the same thing as well without having to have the government institutions walk in and say to them, you have to do this and you have to do that. I think it's key that companies ensure that they take their data privacy to the next level, ensure the security of their networks and their customer data, and ensure that this data is not leaked out onto the internet. And that's been quite well, across some of the major providers out there. And I can use an example of Apple themselves along how they've used privacy and ensuring customer privacy to all of their devices and their users and things like that. And they've enhanced it more and more and every time they've released it. And it's also setting that guideline for how important it is to keep your private data, your data private, and not allow your providers that you use, and ensuring that they do the same with your data that you give to them.
Indeed. Now, can you please take me through the key areas of the telecoms industry that were most impacted by this pandemic? And also, could you take me through the ways in which this unprecedented situation, and we crow about the unprecedented nature of this situation a lot here on the show, but can you take me through the ways in which this situation that no one saw coming, no one expected, and everyone has had to rise to the challenge and adapt to. Can you take me through the ways in which the telecoms industry and telecoms companies have risen to the challenge and adapted to the times? And in what ways has it shown telecoms companies how to set themselves up in future in order to avoid or mitigate or be able to better mitigate the impacts of a disaster of this loop, should it ever come again, Lord forbid?
No, agreed. I think, you know, it's been a hard on many people out there. And I don't want to say the telecoms industry has not been immune to it, but there have been aspects of the telecoms industry that have actually benefited significantly from it. So I mean, the obvious example is now with people working from home. There was a massive uptake of home connectivity that was never quite considered before, when our businesses were getting their staff to work from home and they were then financing portions of that. In other words, ensuring that their staff had connectivity from home. So they were going to the telecoms providers out there and saying, can you offer my staff connectivity? As well as, you know, the education industry was majorly impacted by this, where schools were now had to, many of the schools out there who were capable had to do remote learning. And that introduced an additional boost to the telecoms industry, because they now had to cater for that connectivity as well. So it just sort of did explode in certain aspects. But then it did impact the telecoms industry from a business point of view, where a lot of businesses are now sitting with vacant offices in Sandton and all these major areas, where now, you know, those businesses don't require that connectivity that needed before, and they've moved their services where now their staff are working from home. So it's a bit of a mix and match and things like that. So I think there was a lot of impact to the industry. And on the one side, I think it did relatively well. And I think on the other side, it's still taking a hit, obviously, today and going forward for a period of time until things slowly in some way or another form that new normal, which we'll see exactly what that is. But yeah, there have been multiple impacts in different ways, but I can't say that they were as hard hit, maybe as an example, the hospitality industry.
No, absolutely true. I would like to latch onto something that you just alluded to in your answer, because I'm very curious as to the role that the telecoms industry played or could have played in the conversation around the migration to e-learning, for example, and how migrations like that expose the inequalities on either side of the social divide. Can you take me through the ways in which the telecoms industry maybe investigated ways to assist those who did not have the resources and the means to make a successful migration to e-learning? And could you take me through the ways in which the telecoms industry has tried to, at the very least, have a say in the conversation of getting everyone on a level playing field as far as access to the online digitized realm that we're all seemingly adapting to?
So I think the first part there around, I mean, especially the education sector, and B2E Technology is very involved in education. I know we obviously did a lot of things on our own side with many of the schools that we partner with. I mean, a simple example is, I mean, a lot of even the more public sector schools who don't have the benefits of some of the private schools. I mean, we installed wireless connectivity onto the sports fields, where parents could drive onto the sports fields and literally sit in their cars and have themselves and their kids connected and do learning literally from a sports field, instead of obviously having to enforcing social distancing and allowing education to occur and expanding connectivity in some way or another. And you know, there are these ideas that were out there, and a lot of these changes that were made, the excessive bandwidth, the doubling of bandwidth that we provided to all of our customers, you know, all of those sort of measures were taken in place, obviously, to existing customers, and then I know across the board, the entire industry froze all prices, they froze all increases, they froze everything just to ensure that, you know, the affordability of people to get connected was there. As an industry as a whole, I mean, I'm only commenting from my side, but, you know, I think there was, you know, a reduction in certain, and I don't know if the timing was just very good in a lot of the telecoms bundles that they offered the market. But from a fixed line connectivity point of view, I know still today we're reducing prices as often as we can and tweaking as much as we can to get people online at the higher demands that are out there in the market. So I do think there's a lot more that can be done. And I think time will tell as to what the more major players are going to do. But I think from our point of view in the education sector, we're always trying to come up with ideas to keep kids online. You know, whether that be via, you know, simple thing as broadcasting wireless over an area, you know, and allowing people to be online. I mean, those are just some ideas that we've put out there.
So, Michael, I'm listening to you talk through the various new things that I'm going, that's how I'm going to choose to describe them, the new things that you guys have tried as companies, as an industry, talking through the ways in which you guys have adapted and risen to the task, as we alluded to earlier. Has there been any other opportunities or similar opportunities that have arisen during this period for telecom service providers? And I'm also curious as to whether or not you received any sort of feedback from other international players within the global telecoms industry or parts of the telecoms industry from other parts of the world and other countries. Have they sort of shared trends as to what's going on that side of the world with you? And have they sort of provided feedback or space for conversation around the things that we were trying here in South Africa?
So I think, you know, I think South Africa is obviously unique in its own model, but I think the overall trend, I mean, one of the easiest ways to market is to obviously see what the worldwide markets themselves have done. And obviously the markets took a major impact in March, and, you know, the stock markets dropped around the world. But you just had to watch that and see how players effectively start to adapt during that time frame. And what you'll see is exactly what happened, is you'll see those IT telecoms companies were the ones who were standing up and obviously benefiting in certain aspects around it, because they were now, you know, having a lot of people working from home, and the Shopify's and the Amazon's and all of these home shopping platforms suddenly arose. And you found that, you know, the way people perceive their day-to-day lives changed, and a lot of it changed to tech, and the way they started to work online and live online, essentially from a day-to-day basis, became more and more and more and more. So I think, you know, what we found immediately on our side was international providers coming to us and saying, well, we're willing to offer you, you know, more connectivity at cheaper prices that you can then offer to your end users and things like that, to bring them online and allow them to do these basic functions that now have to be done from home. So it's all a big, you know, mishmash all coming together and creating this picture of what it all looks like. And I think, you know, the market would show you that companies like Amazon, Shopify, or companies that shot up immediately because all of this was allowed to happen and allowed them to thrive in that sort of market where people now living from home. So I think there was a bit of a coming together in many aspects across the world, allowing people to be online and allowing to work from home and allowing them to social distance and all of these things. So I think it all sort of just, you know, everybody put up their hand a little bit and it all just came together.
So we seem to be on the precipice, or at least as close to this precipice as we ever have been at this stage of our lockdown here in South Africa. But we seem to be on the precipice of a moment in time where everything that we considered part of life as we knew it, and the old normal, let's call it, working at an office, actually physically going to a shop to buy groceries, or actually physically going to a fast food outlet to buy your favorite items of fast food, versus the options you have now to either Uber Eats or Mr. D, for example, and how that old normal will appear to run in parallel with the new normal that comes with this digitization that we'll all be migrating to, the option to order or shop from home instead of physically going to the shops, and how overwhelming that will or could possibly become the more preferable choice versus actually physically going out or physically going to the stores. And like I said, we seem to be at the precipice of a period where these normals will seem to run parallel, even if it's briefly, before one makes way for the other. What shape do you believe this leaves the telecoms industry in? And furthermore, how do you see, without being overly optimistic or overly trying to predict, but this idea of the new normal, what shape do you think that will appear in as we move towards it?
I think you're right. I think it is on the verge of being that new normal for certain aspects of South Africans, obviously not all, but from the people who are able to afford that connectivity and the ability to have these services like Uber and all of those sort of items coming to your house. I think the telecoms industry will benefit significantly from that. And I think as the market changes and devices change and devices become more powerful, more intelligent, more, you know, the ability for them to do more, it benefits the industry as a whole, where, you know, people are now going to be having everything in their device, everything in their home linked to some sort of connectivity at some point in time, which obviously impacts the telecoms industry. And that would then go, you know, as it's going to be boost these sort of new products into the market, where you're going to be see people getting more and more smart devices in their home to do functions that, you know, they would not normally do as if they were working from an office. And this will be supported, obviously, as a whole by the telecoms industry. And I think the markets out there are also going to do the same. So as you say, the new norm of having things delivered to your house, it's going to be the people who step up and say that we can now do this properly, and we are the guys who can, you know, get that food for you in 20 minutes or do ensure same day deliveries. You know, they're going to bring in, you know, refrigerators that are going to tell you that you know automatically order from Checkers, you know, 2 liter milk that'll arrive, you know, in 4 hours time and things like that. And that all carries on the backbone of telecoms. So I think it's going to diversify the way certain aspects of telecoms are done. But I think overall, the industry will probably in the long term, and it is a very flexible industry. It's a very powerful industry. We know it's capable of doing extraordinary things. It's just as how expensive it does it. Obviously, it needs to get cheaper and cheaper. But I do think that the telecoms industry will definitely in the long term grow from this and benefit people to a new norm, as you've put out.
And finally, for me, and this is a great segue to this question, in terms of the long term and the long term recovery in some instances that needs to be made will probably be made. In what ways do you see digitalization becoming a catalyst for the digitalization of our work and our education and our spending? And could you also take us through the ways in which this will take up the role of a catalyst? This idea of digitalization will take the role of a catalyst.
So I think with cloud services now, especially, and when I say cloud services, it means essentially allowing anything from a small business even who doesn't even, or even a startup business, allowing it to now very economically start up an entity and offer services to people so simply, whether they be at work or at home now, it enhances this ability of businesses to offer services to people a lot in a far simpler way. So the cloud has now received this massive boost in its credibility. it's received a massive boost in what it can do to bring people online, whether it be, like you said, from a work and an education point of view. It will never fully replace, I think, you know, especially that one-on-one education with a teacher in front of you. And I don't think it can always replace that atmosphere that you get in an office. But if you have a company now that has staff coming in once or twice a week, and students that, you know, can sit at home during portions of their and get the education and have all of this high-speed connectivity and these services that anybody can now take an education platform, spin it up within minutes and design it and implement it. This is going to be on their phone. It's going to be on their laptop. It's going to be on their mobile tablets, whatever it might be. And I think with the credibility that's come over this time frame and with how powerful people have seen what's been done in the market to cater for or how companies quickly adapted to what's been catered out there for the situation that we're currently in, I think it's definitely going to show people how they can start to trust more of what they see online and allow businesses, especially small businesses, to come up with good ideas to allow this digitization to occur. And that will happen across a spectrum of sectors. That can happen across any sector, anything that you can think of, because, you know, they've built this platform for anybody to be able to offer services across any sector. So I do see great growth in digitization for many years to come.
We've just been in conversation with the director of B2E Technologies, Mr. Michael Louizidis, here on the COVID Report, taking us through the ways in which the telecoms industry actually emerged through the rubble of the COVID-19 storm to thrive as much as they have over the course of this period of lockdown all across the world. Now, that brought my attention, so I should say, to what I've always observed as a period of transition that we are fast approaching, if we haven't done so already, where the two normals that we seem to be stuck between, the old normal and the new normal, running parallel. So we went out and asked a few fellow South Africans to share their thoughts with us about the ways in which this pandemic has changed the way they used to lead their lives, how they found all of the migration to doing things online. This is what they had to say.
The COVID-19 pandemic has solidified the importance of technology in our lives. So it allows people to reach further than physically possible in most cases and in the fastest time. Now, we knew that before COVID, but no one could have expected a pandemic to just bring life to a standstill. And ironically, it happened at the best time where technology was sort of the hero in this instance, where humans are now having to not be within each other and not interact as much. But technology was how we could still maintain a sense of normalcy. And so when you think about people who do not have access to technology, it becomes a crisis because they have been left out of this conversation. It's a reality for them that COVID-19 has affected them the most because they were not able to move as they could. They were physically limited because they could not go out anyway, but then they still couldn't reach out to the necessary outlets because the technology was not there.
What COVID-19 has taught me is that technology is quite important because your life suddenly changed. I don't want to say one day, but life suddenly changed. You could not move around because you needed to protect yourself and everybody around you. But life still needed to continue. Like, life came to a standstill. But at the same time, it still needed to continue moving. So you had to find ways that allowed for that, that allowed for the sudden stop, but still the continued movement. So that is why technology is important, because you now find yourself in a position, you still need to get to work, still need to get work done, you still need to meet deadlines. You still, if you wanted to show a reader, you still want books, you still need to go grocery shopping, you still need to get medication, you still need to to, like, you still needed to do a lot of stuff, but at the same time, you needed to be wherever you are and not move around so that you can minimize your chances of contracting the virus. So that's where technology comes in, and it has showed us how it is important, like, for me to be where I am, to be at home, to not leave, but to still get things done, to still meet deadlines, to still buy groceries, to still get books, to still get medication, to still exercise even, because gyms were now suddenly closed, but you still want to maintain a healthy and fit lifestyle. So that is where technology comes in. Now you needed to move live online. I think going forward, that is still something that we still need to adopt, even after the virus, because it was much more convenient, but it was also much more safer for us as human beings, because at the end of the day, the hard lockdowns and stuff, it was not to make life uncomfortable for us, but it was also, it was there for our protection. So, but it has taught us now that, you know, we need to be able to get things done wherever we are. You don't longer need to rush wherever in order to get things done. And that also saves the environment. You don't have to drive to work and then drive to the grocery store and then drive to, or take a taxi and take a bus and take this and that. But you can still get that done. Everything, you can still get it done, but it can be at home, but it is where it is much more convenient. So I think that is one thing we need to take going forward, the convenience of technology, and we need to adopt more into it. Most of the times, technology is not there to disadvantage us or to in any way make life harder or riskier, but to make life simple. And like that's the whole point of growing and learning, and you know, you just want to make life simple, much more easier.
Prior to COVID-19, prior to lockdown, I genuinely had no idea what exactly Zoom was. And lockdown happened. I had to adjust to a new way of conducting meetings, to a new way of conducting interviews, and also a new way of communicating with people. And one way to do that was to use Zoom. And post COVID-19 and post lockdown, will I still prefer using Zoom or any other ways of communicating that require me to be tech savvy? Not at all. I feel like human connection is something that we can never replace. We can come up with different 4IR products, but we can never replace human connection. So I still prefer having face-to-face meetings. I still prefer having face-to-face interviews, and because of that's where you're able to see and observe the human emotions. That's where you're able to have connections, and that's where you're able to judge and tell how a person feels based on your answer, looking at their face and looking at their reaction or their facial expression, to be precise. So yeah, I just want to thank this period for teaching me at least to be tech savvy. Zoom nyana kada, and yeah.
For me, COVID-19, it has taught me that, you know, the issue of connectivity, you know, of low data costs is now an issue of social justice. That, you know, it's not something that, you know, we should be just holding conferences about and, you know, deciding oguti, oh, you know, this is what we want to do. It has to be done. Every township needs to have fiber. Every township, you know, they need every home basically, you know, needs to have a computer, because the amount of schooling that has been lost by some learners, many, actually the majority of our learners in this country, it's because of lack, you know, of these things. And if we had this, I mean, you know, it was going to be easy. Everybody was just going to adapt. And of course, you still have those psychological issues that you need to, but also, I mean, human beings adapt, and we are going to overcome those things, you know, in time. So it has just shown me that, you know, it is important. Governments need to make sure that every household is connected. You know, Wi-Fi is in every township.
I believe that when the pandemic started in March, we didn't anticipate that, you know, would be working from our homes, but until with the government coming with the regulations and all of that. So what I've learned is that some duties are meant to be done at home visually. Just do your work on your laptop and send it and for the tech guys to upload. So what the pandemic has taught me as a newsreader and also someone who is a social media admin is for the fact that we really need the stronger connectivity to make sure that we update each and every hour because of the profession of journalism that requires for us to be online and also share information in particular ways. So I've learned a lot in terms of working from home because it's much better, it's much easier despite its challenges, you know, but then those are the perks of working at home. But then the most important part is the internet connectivity, you know, and also in terms of ICT, having the proper equipment to make sure that like your laptop doesn't freeze, your phone doesn't freeze. Also, you know, they're always up to date and also with the internet connectivity.
And those were some of the thoughts and sentiments of a few fellow South Africans talking to us about the ways in which the thriving telecoms industry has in many ways encouraged them to fully embrace the digitalized migration, to fully embrace the virtual world and forego all of the physicalities that came with the old normal.
This podcast was brought to you by Voice of Vids. By Voice of Vids. To hear more of our shows, tune in to 88.1 or streams via www.vofm.co.za.